a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
We will call the Public Utilities Commission meeting to order. This is Chairman Chris Nelson. I have with me Commissioner Feagin, and on the phone line is Commissioner Gary Hansen. We are going to start today with consumer reports. The famous Deb Gregg is not here, and we have a substitute, Kristen Edwards.
Thank you, Chairman Nelson. Big shoes to fill. This is Kristen Edwards for staff. The commission received a total of 34 contacts since the last report was prepared for the November 12th commission meeting. Five contacts involved telecommunications services. Nine contacts involved electrical services. Two contacts were related to natural gas service. Two contacts were related to wireless service. Nine contacts were related to the Do Not Call registry. Three contacts were related to the Dakota Access Pipeline, and four contacts were related to issues not regulated by the PUC. 1,914 of the 1,916 complaints received in 2014 have been resolved. 1,843 of the 1,864 complaints resolved in 2015 have been resolved. And I will attempt to answer any questions you have.
Thank you. Questions from the commission? Commissioner Feagin, how do you think she did?
Excellent.
Very good. Thank you, Kristen. With that, Jake Quasney, have you joined us? Not hearing Mr. Quasney, but we're going to move forward with his dockets. The first one is EL 15-039, in the matter of the request by Trinity Point LLC for a variance to a separate metering requirement. And he has requested that this docket be withdrawn. Any questions, motions?
Mr. Chairman, in EL 15-039, move that the commission withdraw the docket.
Discussion on the motion. Hearing none. All those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Feagin.
Feagin votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. It is withdrawn. The next two I'll take together, EL 15-040, in the matter of the request by Aberdeen Housing Authority for a variance to the separate metering requirement, and EL 15-041, in the matter of the request by Sioux Falls Housing Ministry, LLC, for a variance to a separate metering requirement. And there's been a request to defer this till the next meeting. Is there any questions? Seeing none, is there a motion?
You know, I do have a quick question. Is it just till the next meeting? Is the continuance or the continuance until you get the information?
Yeah, this is Darren Carney from staff. We filed a number of data requests to the company to provide some additional cost information as well as a further explanation on the systems that they're seeking to master meter. And so it would be staff's understanding that this would be deferred until we receive that information and have a complete application.
So the continuance could be more than just the next meeting?
Correct. It's subject to the company's responding.
Thank you.
Excellent. Is there a motion? Commissioner Feagin.
In EL 15-040 and 041, move for a continuance.
Is there discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Feagin.
Feagin votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. Brings us to EL 15-043, in the matter of the petition of Northern States Power Company doing business as XL Energy for approval of its petition of changes to the street lighting energy service tariff to provide a customer-owned light-emitting diode street lighting rate. Mr. Kenneke.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, and staff. Brett Kenneke appearing for Northern States Power Company this morning. I will defer to Deb Paulson on the line in Minneapolis.
Go ahead, Deb.
Thank you. Good morning, Commissioners. What we're doing here with this tariff proposal is adding a feature to allow LED fixtures as an option to our street lighting service. Right now, it affects basically one customer, the city of Sioux Falls, who has informed us that they are interested in replacing their existing high-pressure sodium lights with LED fixtures. Since our tariffs and our rates, the service that the city of Sioux Falls takes is unmetered. And since the tariff is based on higher energy consuming mercury vapor and high pressure sodium fixtures, LED lights are less expensive to operate. And so we believe it's necessary to offer a cost-equivalent option for our unmetered servants. And so the change we have proposed before you does just that.
Thank you. Staff.
Thank you, Chairman Nelson. This is Joe Rizek with staff. Staff has reviewed the filing and would recommend approval of XL Energy's request, effective and available on the date of the commission order. The City of Sioux Falls did reach out to staff about a potential intervention, but decided not to, and express that they have no objection to an entry of an order approving this tariff. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions from the commission? I have one question, and it's really a tangential question, not relating to the actual filing, but in the commentary there was discussion about the fact that XL was going to move to install electric meters throughout the layout of the street lighting in Sioux Falls, I guess. And my question is, why on earth you'd want to go to the expense and hassle of putting meters on all those electric poles when you should be able to just nail the consumption perfectly with an arithmetic calculation?
That one I can't answer for you. The expert that I had here is still on the road. I'm sorry.
Mr. Kenneke.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't know all the ins and outs, but Jim and I talked about this, and Jim couldn't be here because of a funeral this morning. But he indicated to me that there wouldn't be meters on nearly anything approaching all the poles. They do them in a series, and it had to be somehow designed so that there would be 12 in this cluster on a meter, or perhaps more or less depending on. So it wouldn't be on all of them, but would be on some of them. And the reasoning for it, I couldn't tell you, but I did know that little snippet about the mechanics of it.
Well, and I think that starts to answer maybe why that they're going to do it in a way that might have some efficiency involved in it, but just seemed to me that with a street light, you'd be able to calculate almost down to the penny based on when it's light and when it's dark, but without having to go to that expense. Other questions? Seeing none, is there a motion? I will move in EL 15-043 that the commission approve XL's revised tariff sheet. Discussion on the motion. Simply want to say to the company, thank you for your willingness to bring forth this particular tariff. Obviously, as technology changes, we need to take advantage of that to save electric consumption. City of Sioux Falls wants to do that, and you've worked with them to get a rate that works for the taxpayers down there, and I appreciate that. Additional discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan.
Fegan votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. That brings us to rulemaking 13-002 in the matter of the consideration of standards to govern avoided cost determinations. And this has been hanging out there for a little while. And the question today is, how shall the commission proceed on this? And to give us some guidance on that, Brian Rounds.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Brian Rounds for staff. Hopefully you recall that you had asked us to draft these rules, so it's been a little while, but they are drafted, and they are unique, I think, to anything else that we've been able to find in the United States, which is partly the reason it took so long. We weren't able to just copy somebody else's. And I guess what we're just asking here is that you set a schedule to get some comments and then make a decision. So whether you want to give folks 2 weeks or do two rounds of comments, reply comments, or something like that, it's up to you.
Perfect. Any other commentary from anybody on this particular question? Questions from the commission? Commissioner Fegan.
The two-week comment period, that's pretty limiting, considering these people are all working on comments for the EPA at the same time, correct? I suppose they're different staff, but...
Yeah, I in my opinion, I don't think it'll be a lot of the same staff that will be commenting on these. We've worked with some of the staff that are developing avoided costs, doing resource planning, and typically they have an environmental analyst or something similar that's working on the EPA rules, so typically different people.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure we gave everyone ample time, especially with the two holidays coming up, with commenting, and then I think it's very appropriate for response comments, too.
And if I can just add, I wasn't making a suggestion for 2 weeks. I would just, you can, you know, feel free to make that a month or longer. This has been out there long enough that I don't think adding a month to the timeline is going to be a problem.
Yeah, just as an FYI, I was thinking maybe February 1st for the first round, give a couple of months. I absolutely agree. Additional commissioner questions? Is there a motion? I'll move in RM 13-002 that the commission request comments, and let me make clear that this is not part of the formal rulemaking, that these are simply requesting comments to help us determine what the language of a potential rule promulgation might be. And I would ask that any comments on this proposed language for rules be due February 1st and any reply comments by March 1st. And then we'll evaluate those and determine how to move forward. Discussion on the motion. I'd simply say I think this is appropriate. Let's find out what people are thinking. Part of me thinks that, you know, circumstances, particularly with a large part of South Dakota now being included in SPP, that the need for this may have changed to some extent from when we first began discussing it. But by the same token, there may be some residual need and certainly no harm in moving forward and getting comments on this. And so I'm anxious to see what folks have to say. Additional discussion?
Mr. Chairman?
Go ahead.
I agree with both of you, and I appreciate the fact that we are going to have the date set at February 1st, because this is not only unique to South Dakota, it's an extremely important subject matter that has been discussed for many, many years, and I want to make certain that everyone has an opportunity, which obviously they have, and the participation has been really good, and I commend the staff for the way in which they have built this process and made it extremely open for everyone to participate, and that's important with something that has a potential for becoming challenging in the future, so I will certainly support the motion. Thank you.
Additional discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Hansen?
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan?
Fegan votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. That brings us to telecommunications and the matter of the failure of certain telecommunication companies to timely pay their gross receipts tax. And we are privileged to have with us Cindy Chemnitz.
Thank you, Chairman Nelson. This is Cindy Chemnitz for staff. Between the time that we posted the agenda and today, three companies have paid their calendar year 14 gross receipts tax and penalty. So I would request that Citizens Telecommunications Company of Minnesota, Access Line Communications Corporation, and T-Mobile Central LLC all be removed from the delinquency list. I have had communications with Leica Mobile USA, and I've received some verification that there is a check in the mail. Unfortunately, it was supposed to be delivered, and it has not been, so I would ask for action to be deferred on that one until the next commission meeting. Thanks.
So you're believing the check is in the mail. But leaving the possibility that we can still pursue this if it is not. Questions from the commission? Seeing none, we will simply defer this until the next meeting. And Cindy, thank you. And thanks for your work to get the others tracked down and paid up. That brings us to TC 15-059 in the matter of the filing of Native American Telecom LLC for approval of revisions to its access services tariff number 2. We had some questions last time. The company's provided some answers. And unless commissioners have any questions, I'm going to turn it over to Ms. Wiest.
Yeah. Yes, this is Rolaine Wiest, and thank you for your responses. I just had a couple of other questions.
Sure.
I believe Mr. Rozell, you're on the line, correct?
I am.
Yep, and my first question is actually a new issue. For interstate communications, you added in, for the definition, it's in the definitional, about the Tribal Utility Commission. And when I was reading through the NAT order in that statement, I'm not sure that it actually tracks with that. I was wondering if there was any problem with deleting that addition.
The addition of the definition of intrastate communications or interstate communications?
The definition of the new language in intrastate that also talks about oversight by the Tribal Utility Commission. It wasn't in there in your previous tariffs.
This is a new addition, not since we began the revision process, but new to this set of revisions. I'm sorry, when were you saying it was new?
It shows that it was, I believe, was changed through this provision.
Right. And yep. So you believe it is inconsistent with, what were
yes.
you saying it was inconsistent with? I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry, with our NAT order versus Sprint. I guess my question is whether we need to make any reference at all since this is a South Dakota PUC tariff. I mean, it's not like we make a reference to the FCC who has certain amount of jurisdiction over switched access now, too.
Right. I guess the concern, this was added simply to say, I thought it was consistent with the order that said if it's, and correct me if I'm wrong, if it's within the borders, are you saying that it would not be intrastate communications, it would be intra-tribal lands, not then by extension intrastate?
Yeah, my issue is whether we need to reference it at all since this is just a South Dakota PUC tariff.
Okay.
And you don't, you know, if you want to go back to your clients, that's fine.
I don't think we have a problem getting rid of it. I don't think it you know, carries any particular, weight in terms of, specific importance. I think it'd be fine to delete that.
And then going back to an issue I'd brought up before in 3.1.1, I believe you did make a change to one of the interstates, but in the 1, 2, 3, 4, you still refer to interstate or foreign calls in the fourth line of 3.1.1, and then later on you had changed that second interstate to interstate to intrastate. Is there a reason why that first one should be interstate?
I'm looking at that right now. Let me do a quick search and find that. That should be changed the same way the additional reference was changed.
Okay, then if you would go to, I still had a questions about 3.3.2, and my issues revolve around, it appears that you've taken this from the FCC definition of end office, and I understand your point about it's intended to incorporate aspects from the federal order. My issue is that when you're talking about, like, for example, the first one in subparagraph 1, subparagraph 2 under 3.3.2, for some reason words and stuff are left out. And I can't understand why those words would be left out. For example, in 2, it's supposed to be the routing of inter-exchange traffic, and then you leave out words like to or from. Are those kind of – and I was wondering if you could just look through that again and see if those were left out for a reason or if they should actually more closely track the FCC definition.
I know that we specifically looked at that definition, and I don't know that we are I certainly don't think we're obligated to mirror that wording from the FCC's definition. I don't think that we have there's no particular intent other than to describe the service being provided by the company and be consistent with other terminology in the tariff. So, you know, sometimes if you pull a definition, if you're going to have a defined term, you want to make sure that it's consistent throughout. And I think, for example, using the definition of call or something like that. So what you'd like for me to do is to take 3.3.2 and where the wording closely parallels FCC definitions, if the wording is different in any way, to describe why it's different from the FCC definition?
Yes, that would be correct.
Is that what you're asking to do?
Yes. And I think I just have one other question. Again, thank you for the explanation of your 3.7 footnote. And maybe this came out earlier, but why was the... You talked about the geographically closer tandem was essentially inaccessible. Can you explain why is that?
Well, if a carrier says, you know, they don't like the tandem arrangement, they think that, say, the tandem is, you know, 150 miles from the end office. And they say, and that in the case of Native American, they're using the same tandem location as the ILEC that would serve that area. But at least one carrier had said, when I look on a map, when I just look for tandems that are geographically closer, I see a tandem over here that's 80 miles away. Now, that may be not part of, there may be no connection, no telecommunications infrastructure of any consequence between those locations. It may just happen to be on a map, look closer, but it may be inaccessible. So I know one case, I'm not Native American Crow Creek, but in another case, there was a situation where a tandem was closer, but it was, as my understanding was, it was crossing over the Badlands, and it was not a place where there was existing telecommunications infrastructure, but the carrier could point to a physically closer tandem as if that was, you know, would be relevant. It was not the tandem that the ILEC used to serve that area, and it was not a tandem that was accessible, but the carrier is bringing up as if it was, well, it's closer, it's physically closer, so the mileage needs to reflect that mileage.
Okay. That's all I have. Thank you.
Any questions from commissioners? So, Ms. Weiss, the best way to proceed might be for them to submit yet another revision to their red line tariff with those changes?
Yes, and to the extent that there's an explanation of that other issue, that then we can look at that.
Perfect. Mr. Roselle, is that fair with you?
It is. I really, obviously, we've gone through a lot of iterations on this, and I would like to really bring it to a close. As quickly as we can do it, I would like to do that. If there are any other issues that could be brought up, I certainly need to make sure to get those on the table. And anyway, we just need to work as quickly as we can to get this done.
Yeah, fair enough. Our next meeting is December 8th, and as long as you get that information to us and we don't find any additional problems with it, it looks to me like we can wrap it up at that point.
Now, procedurally, and correct me if I'm wrong, I'm usually able to work with staff to provide input, see if the input is acceptable. In this case, I provided responses, and we didn't have an opportunity to interact before the agenda. So is it such that that I can interact with Commission Counsel to see if the revisions are acceptable prior to the agenda?
No. The only thing that, I think we just have to wait to the commission meeting.
That's the exact answer that I was, no, you cannot. Unfortunately, and believe me, there's probably hundreds of cases where that would expedite things, but by law, we simply can't do that.
Okay.
And with that, we will defer that to the December 8th meeting. Anything else for the good of the order? Seeing none, a couple announcements. We will gather here for an ad hoc meeting to deal with Dakota Access on Monday afternoon, November 30th at 1:30. Our next regularly scheduled meeting will be here Tuesday, December 8th at 9:30 in the morning. Is there a motion?
Move to adjourn.
Move to adjourn. All those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan.
Fegan votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. We are adjourned.